One of the clearest Christmas memories that I have is when I was about 14 or 15 years old. My brother Ed, who's 5 years older than me, we bought each other an album for Christmas. And only my mom knew that it was the exact same album that we bought for each other. And so when it came time to open the presents, my mom said, "Okay, you got to open these at the same time." You can imagine our surprise when we opened it was exactly the same record. I don't have the vinyl LP anymore. Kind of wish I did. But I do have the CD of it. It's from Michael and Stormy O'Mardy, and it's called Seasons of the Soul. And I really enjoyed this album. To this day, this is my favorite album of that couple. And I particularly like the title track, which comes at the end of the album. And I'd like to share with you the words to that song because it really inspired what we're going to be doing for the next 4 weeks in our Sunday morning messages. Whenever summer dreams start to fade and lose their light, when the spring of your heart seems so cold, it can't be right, and you feel like you've lost control, and the valleys seem so low. Well, it's not forever. It's just a season of the soul. If you could step away just to see how far you've gone, if you would take the time just to be what you've become, you would have then time to grow. There would be that chance to know that it's not forever, just a season of the soul. Walking alone in the desert at night, searching for the rain. How can this happen to me? It's not right when Jesus is my friend. Everything was going fine. I was standing on the line. Where did I go wrong? Suddenly the sky was gray, looking like it's going to stay far too long. Up on a mountain, I heard his sigh, like an angel's call. If you don't rest when the winter is here, what will you bear in the fall? A time to cry, a time to sing. There's a time for everything. Nothing lasts that long. Don't look at what you see. Just keep your eyes on me. I won't let you go wrong. So when you look for the voice that you've known and no one's there, when it seems the caretaker's heart just doesn't care. It's the seasons of the soul. It's not forever. It's the seasons of the soul. I really believe that's an accurate phrase. I think we all go through seasons in our lives, very similar to the seasons we experience in the weather. And I think each one has its potential benefits. And if we can recognize them and adjust our thinking to where we are in our lives, I believe they can be very beneficial. This idea of seasons is very biblical. When God created the sun, the moon, and the stars on the fourth day of creation, he said in Genesis 1:14, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day and the night. And let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years." In the scripture that was read earlier from Ecclesiastes 3, we see there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. The NIV Senior's Devotional Bible observes, "There are seasons in life and there are seasons of the soul. The springtime when faith is born, the summer as faith matures, the reaping and harvesting in the fall, and the dark time, the winter, when you walk over frozen ground and you're sure nothing will ever grow again." I don't know of a single Christian who in his pilgrimage could testify that his faith has enjoyed springtime all the time. Everyone has that winter of the soul. Now, sometimes we think of these seasons as individual phases of life. The springtime is our childhood. as we're growing up. Summer might be envisioned as the prime of our life. Maybe autumn is that middle age. And then winter is the later years as we grow older. And those descriptions might be fitting, but I want to suggest to you that these seasons of the soul that we're going to consider over the next four Sundays are times that we go through many times in our lives. Just like every year has all four seasons, so we will go through these phases in our lives, these times in our soul. And they may or may not correlate with the weather outside. It may be the middle of winter and you're experiencing a summertime. You might be in the heat of summer and experiencing an autumn in your soul. So it's not exactly the same on the calendar, but I think there are some real similarities. I want to consider spring as a season to rise and renew. Summer is a season to run and to reach. Autumn is a season to reap and rejoice. And winter is a season to rest and reflect. Now, unlike the meteorological seasons, they can't be predicted as to when they will happen or how long they will last. I'm reminded of when I lived for 4 years in Minnesota when I went to Bible college. There was a joke up there that said, oh yeah, we have summer every year in Minnesota. Just doesn't always fall on the same day. The other joke was there's two seasons in Minnesota, winter and road construction. Those of you that have been up there know what I'm talking about. But these are seasons that go in our lives. And we can't always anticipate when they're going to occur or how long they're going to last, but they're very definite. And I believe that if you want to look at it as a cycle of life, it's something God has designed, and we can grow through these seasons. We can actually grow through all of them, even when it may not be apparent on the outside. Now, even though we're in the clutches of winter, I'd like to begin our study with the springtime of the soul, a time to rise and renew. It may seem like a long way in the distance right now, like spring will never get here, but we can imagine what it'll be like. I like the way Solomon puts it in the Song of Songs, the book we don't turn to very often. Song of Songs, chapter 2, beginning in verse 11, says, "See, the winter is past. The rains are over and gone. Flowers appear on the earth. The season of singing has come. The cooing of doves is heard in our land. The fig tree forms its early fruit. The blossoming vines spread their fragrance." You can almost hear it, almost smell it, right? As you think about what spring is like, the warmth, the beauty, the new life that comes onto the earth. Winter is past. Spring has come. Now, if we're in the springtime of the soul, we may be experiencing new relationships or new life in our workplace or in our family. New opportunities have opened up to us. There's probably a sense of excitement, but maybe a little sense of uncertainty too, with all these new things budding in our lives. It can be an incredibly enjoyable season, particularly after a long, hard winter. And I believe that this springtime is a time to rise and renew, a time of new beginnings. And it requires some effort for these new beginnings to survive. Just as a farmer or a gardener will get out in the springtime and put in a lot of time and a lot of effort to make the plants grow, so we need to roll up our sleeves and do what needs to be done so that these new beginnings can have happy endings. I'd like to suggest three activities that are important in this springtime of the soul. The first, it's a time to plow. There's two Old Testament prophets that use this imagery. The first is Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. This is what the Lord says to the men of Judah and to Jerusalem. Break up your unplowed ground, and do not sow among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord, circumcise your hearts, you men of Judah and people of Jerusalem, or my wrath will break out and burn like fire because of the evil you have done, burn with no one to quench it. Break up your unplowed ground. Hosea also uses that same idea in Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. Sow for yourselves righteousness. Reap the fruit of unfailing love and break up the unplowed ground. For it is time to seek the Lord until He comes and showers righteousness on you. Break up the unplowed ground. Those of you that may use or are familiar with the King James Version may recognize the phrase, break up your fallow ground. That was a favorite phrase by a lot of evangelists in years gone past. Break up that fallow, unplowed ground. You got to take the plow to the ground that has become hard over the winter and unreceptive to the seed. We need to break it up. Now, Jesus doesn't use exactly these words, but I think He had the same thought in mind when He taught the parable of the sower and the seed. Remember that? A sower went out and scattered seed, and it fell on different kinds of ground. There was a pathway, there was rocky ground, there was thorny ground, and there was good ground. Well, that first type of soil, the pathway, was hard. The seed was not able to penetrate and take root. Instead, Jesus says in Luke 8, verses 11 and 12, the birds come along and take it away. They eat it right off of the top of the ground. He explains, the seed is the Word of God. Those along the path are those who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the Word from their hearts, so they will not believe and are saved. That idea of the hard, unplowed ground that won't receive the seed. M.R. DeHaan, those of you that follow Radio Bible Class may remember that name, he explains what it means. Fallow ground is that which is permitted to lie idle and uncultivated. Instead of producing grain and fruit, the land becomes covered with weeds and thorns, and disaster lies ahead. So the prophet calls to Israel, "Thus says the Lord, break up your fallow ground and do not sow among thorns." The spiritual applications of this are many and profitable, but the one which comes to mind first is that there can be no blessing without effort and no harvest without plowing. I want you to think about that. In our spiritual lives, there can be no blessing without effort. If you think the Christian life is just, I sit back and let God do it all, you're in for a surprise. I know a very popular cliche is let go and let God. And there are times when that is fitting, but there are other times when God says, get up and get going. And that's the springtime of the soul. We need to get up and move. There are things that we must do. And notice he also says, there is no harvest without plowing. If we do not plow up, break up this hardened ground in our hearts, if we allow our hearts to get hard, there will be no harvest. This is the first step of the process. We need to cultivate good soil if we expect to grow a crop. Okay, I get that. If I'm not a farmer, I'm surrounded by it. I see it. I know when they're out there disking the soil and getting it all ready to go. Maybe you're a gardener. You get out in the springtime. You got to dig up that ground so that you can put the seeds in it. You get it. What does that mean, though, in our spiritual lives? Well, simply put, plowing means changing. When Jeremiah and Hosea used this idea of plowing in their preaching, they were calling the people to repentance. And repentance involves a radical new beginning with God, a fresh surrender of heart, mind, and will, of worship and life. We surrender to Him as our Lord. And with such a new beginning, nothing is impossible with God. Now, usually when we use the word repentance, we're talking about sin. Turn away from sin and turn toward God. Most of the time in the Scripture, that's what it's referring to. But I want to suggest to you, you can repent from something that's not morally wrong. You can, in fact, repent from things that are good in and of themselves if they're keeping you from what's best. And you may come to a place in your life where you say, you know, the way I've always done things is not as productive. I need to make some changes. Just to give one brief example, I know many Christians who really struggle with their quiet time, that time in the Word, time in prayer. And they have tried month after month, year after year, and it's just frustrating. It just doesn't seem to be working. I would suggest to you that maybe a change in the time of day you do it might make a difference. If you're trying to do it in the morning and it isn't working, try doing it at night. If you're doing it at night and you find you fall asleep before you get through anything, maybe try it in the morning. Make a change. Now, there's nothing wrong with what you've been doing. It just may not be the most effective. Make a change. That is, in the truest sense of the word, repentance. It doesn't have to be from something that is sinful or morally wrong. Now, bringing it back to our imagery here. In nature, spring follows winter. And usually the springtime of the soul will follow a winter season. I realize wherever I begin this series, I have to back up a little because we don't see it in the context. Understand that this isn't a straight line, it's more of a circle. And if we're starting with spring, remember, you've probably come out of a winter. Winter is a season to rest and reflect. Oftentimes, it's a season of inactivity. Now, it could just be a very brief season. Maybe you've taken a vacation. Maybe you've taken a week or 2 weeks, or maybe if you're really lucky, a month, where you get out of your routine, you sleep in the morning, you don't have to follow the schedule that you're normally on, you can kind of eat what you want and do what you want, and that's great. But that usually doesn't last forever. You got to come back to real life. And then you got to make some changes. Now you got to set that alarm clock. Maybe you need to go to bed a little earlier. Maybe you got to start watching a little bit of what you eat. Maybe you got to get back into those exercise routines, right? Or it could be you've been through a winter season because you've been laid up by illness or injury. You haven't been able to do what you would normally do. This happened to me last month. I got a head cold. I usually get one once in the spring, once in the fall and winter. And, you know, my head felt like a bowling ball. I really didn't feel like getting up and exercising. I mean, you know, usually it's a good idea to breathe when you do that kind of activity, and I was having a tough time with that. I went for a week where I didn't exercise. Boy, that next week was tough. I mean, just getting out of bed was tough. And going over it and getting started again. And because after you've done it for a while, you build up your endurance. But then when you're away, you got to start over. So these are the circumstances that I'm talking about. Winter is important, and we're going to get to that in a few weeks. And it can be beneficial, but it's not forever. And there's a time when we've got to break out of that winter of the soul and start anew. And it's going to take some changes. It's going to take some changes in our routine, some changes in our mindset and our thinking. We got to be willing to plow up what we've been doing, what we've been thinking, in order to prepare for something new. And that leads us to our second activity. Once the soil of our soul has been plowed, the next step is to plant. Going back to Hosea 10, verse 12, sow for yourselves righteousness. We can't be content to stop doing what we've been doing. We need to start doing something new to replace the old. Jesus warned against this in Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. I'll be honest, first time I encountered this passage, I really wasn't sure what he was getting at. But I believe I've got a greater understanding of it now. Luke chapter 11, verse 24. When an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and gets seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that man is worse than the first. What's Jesus getting at here? I mean, it sounds like this guy's on the right path. I mean, he had an evil spirit, was cast out, right? And then it says that his life was all put in order and swept clean. But at the end of this passage, he's worse off than he was at the beginning. How is that? And I believe the key to understanding what Jesus is teaching there is it's not enough to get rid of the old. You got to replace it with the new. Not enough to get rid of the bad. You've got to replace it with good. Because we can't exist as a spiritual vacuum. Once that evil spirit was cast out, he didn't find another place to go. So he comes to that original person and sees that it's all swept clean and put in order, but there's nobody there. There's no spirit living inside that person. And so he goes, gets seven spirits worse than him and says, hey, let's go have a party. It's not enough to just plow up the ground of our hearts. We need to plant new. Get rid of the old, bring in the new. Repent from the wrong, bring in the right. Again, you might say, I'm not seeing it. I'm not getting the connection. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Paul makes this very, very practical. Ephesians chapter 4. I want you to notice the connections that Paul makes throughout this passage. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in I want to go to verse 22. 22, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true holiness and righteousness. So what is Paul saying here? Take off the old and put on the new. Now he gets really specific. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we're all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful in building others up according to their needs, so that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. What's Paul saying there? In very practical steps, when you get rid of one thing, you better replace it with another. Don't lie, tell the truth. Don't steal, do something productive with your hands. I'm going to confess. Whenever I see or even have had experience with a hacker, someone who hacks into a Facebook account and creates a fake one, or they hack into your computer, and there's a thing called ransomware some of you might be familiar with, where they lock everything down. Unless you pay them a lot of money, it's gone. And I'm tempted to think, why can't those people take the obvious intelligence and skills they have and do something good with it? You know, why can't they be productive instead of being so destructive? That's exactly what Paul is saying here. Stop using your hands for evil. Do something for good. Don't let unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but say something that builds others up. I know there's a popular saying that says, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. That's not what Paul says. Paul says, don't say something unkind, but say something kind. And if you're really struggling with an area of your life that maybe you want to stop doing, I want to quit this habit, I want to stop this way of thinking or this mindset, this way of life, if you only focus on what you don't want to do, you're going to keep doing it. You have to replace it with something good. That's the idea here about planting seeds. We break up the old ground, which is stop doing the things we don't want to do, but then we've got to start doing the things we want to do. Plant seeds. Start something new. And then the final step is a time of progress. Spring is a season of growth, though the beginning of the growth might seem slow. You ever notice that change doesn't come easily? And oftentimes it doesn't come quickly. It takes a while for these things to take root, to show evidence in our lives. We don't plant one day and harvest the next, do we? James wisely advises in James 5:7, be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. See, God sends the sunshine, He sends the rain to nurture the seeds that are planted. We've got to be patient. We've got to allow the progress to take place. Now, I mentioned Jeremiah and Hosea earlier. They were the prophets that introduced this idea of plowing. They also promised the spring rains that bring the progress to our planting. Jeremiah 5:24 says, let us fear the Lord our God, who gives the autumn and spring rains in season and assures us of the regular weeks of harvest. Hosea 6 verse 3 adds, as surely as the sun rises, he will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. Now, once again, you might say, okay, I get the nature part, but how does that correlate? What do it mean, spring rains? What's that supposed to be? I believe it represents the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He directs us, He empowers us to make these desired changes. Paul writes in a completely different context in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 6 and 7, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. And then he kind of summarizes and says, so neither he nor plants or he the waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. We need to acknowledge that all growth ultimately comes from God. So, to go back to an earlier quote, there is no harvest without plowing. There's no blessing without effort. Yes, we are called to do our part. But we also need to realize where our part ends and God's part begins. And He is the one that is going to bring the growth. He is the one that's going to produce the results, which takes a big weight off of our shoulders. We do the work, we plant the seed, we water the seed, God makes it grow. And allow Him to do His work in His time. Springtime is a welcome time, especially after a long, hard winter. Chuck Swindoll puts it this way in his book, Growing Strong in the Seasons of Life. Oh, spring, how we've missed you. How much we need your gracious nudging. Stir us from slumber. Bring back the color. Add a little shower now and then to clean things up. Blow away the threatening clouds with your sweet, gentle breezes so that we can see again the mountains of challenge that make us want to climb higher. They've been there all winter, but we've been inside a long, long time. It's easy to lose sight of the beautiful peaks and the lovely meadows when we do reduce life to Operation Survival. And as we're going to see, when we get to that winter time of the soul, we're going to feel like we're doing all we can just to survive. And that's okay. Doesn't last forever. We're going to come to the springtime of our soul, a time of new beginnings. Maybe that's where you're at right now. Maybe you're awakening from a winter time of spiritual hibernation, crawling out of a dark cave of disillusionment and discouragement. Maybe you've been laid up for a time by illness or injury, but your strength is beginning to return. Don't be afraid to try again. The sun is still out there. It invites you to try out its splendor, to believe anew, to realize the same Lord who renews the trees with buds and blossoms, who renews the grass with green in place of brown, is ready to renew your life with hope and with courage. Maybe it's a time to plow. Break up those old patterns of thinking and behaving. Maybe it's a time to plant, time to start something new. Last week we talked about setting goals that are specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, time-oriented. New things in our lives, and then allow God to make it grow. Watch the progress that happens as we yield to His Spirit. And it can be springtime in our soul, even if it's snowing outside.